Chaz and AJ News.
Eversource will be on the show at around 7:20. Yesterday, there were two very angry big city mayors on the show at this time. Mayor Ganim was one of them. Are you unmad or less mad today?
Or angry?
You know, I'm taking a deep breath. Appreciate you having me on. I think Mayor Rilling's coming on. He's getting older, by the way. You should know his birthday was yesterday.
Hold on a second. We're all
getting older.
His birthday?
Mayor Rilling, was it your birthday yesterday?
Yes, it was.
All right.
Happy birthday!
Did you have a nice birthday?
Well, we were doing a lot of work, but it was gratifying. And yes, my wife made it very special for me.
Did she make a cake?
She bought one.
Right. Did it have candles on it to light up the room?
She used a candle light, exactly, yes.
All right, well, happy birthday. We're going to get back to you in a second. I can't wait to hear, because we gave the mayor's number to Eversource to see if there was some connection made in progress. But Mayor Ganim of Bridgeport has an announcement.
Well, yeah, and first, I don't want anybody to misunderstand the way we feel. There's a lot of hardworking individuals, men and women out there working, trying to restore lines, whether they're city employees, state employees, or utility company employees. And we want them to be safe, and we want to support them. They're trying to get the job done. The problem's with management. It's with oversight. You got the what I call the Confederation of Dunces running the utility companies in the state of Connecticut. First and foremost on my list is the UI company. And their irresponsibility and their arrogance on top of it and ignorance to the risk that they're putting human life in, even by not communicating, never mind not restoring. So we filed yesterday an order to show cause to force them, along with what the governor's filed, to restore power. It's that simple. Get on it or explain to the proper body, in this case it's going to be PURA, why they're not doing it, what they did wrong, and how to correct it before we have impacting on seniors and what I've referred to as some of the most vulnerable, at least in my city, and I know throughout the state of Connecticut. There isn't a public official that I've talked to or heard on the news that isn't, maybe they haven't raised their voice and screamed and pounded as much as some of us have, that aren't outraged and aren't dissatisfied and don't want some action. So we've taken some action. I hope it has an impact. I hope it gets their attention, and I wish they would at least respond and start restoring power in the city of Bridgeport and elsewhere.
You ever hear something and say, wow, that's going to make the news? What was that you called them?
Was it Confederation? The power companies in the state of Connecticut, in my view, and I don't say this too often about groups, remind me of the Confederation, run by the Confederation of Dunces. Either they're
dunces.
Just dumb or they just don't give a damn, and either one is unacceptable.
Right. And we may take that as a show slogan.
That's a good one.
So it's just, you know, I'm calling it the fourth day. And we're no better off. We have no better, at least they're putting out predictions that they're going to start turning power on. But if you listen in any city and town, and I'm certainly concerned about mine and the residents here, we get almost 150,000 people here, almost 10,000 of them still without power, without any indication or even a response.
You're very passionate about this.
A lot of coffee, too.
It sounds like table flipping.
A lot of coffee, too.
Sounds like table flipping anger.
Yeah, it does.
Which is understandable.
Ooh, flip a table.
I wanted to get to, you filed this suit, right?
Yes.
And how fast do you think this will work its way through? And do you think it'll have any results or do you think it'll help bring the power back faster?
Well, that's the goal. You sit here and you say, what are the options you can do? We put out, and we've asked residents to just put out public pressure to call them. If they need to bring in more manpower, even at this late date, they need to do it. They need a plan in place that includes restoration. I think it should be prioritized. From what I'm hearing, we are a low priority in the city of Bridgeport. We're given less resources than other cities and towns.
Is this true?
I believe it's true? Yes.
Yeah, and you believe it's true, but like, is that factual?
Well, proportionately, yes. In other words, we have more people. I don't want to pick out another city or town. We have 2, 4, 5, 10 times more than some of the towns. Yet we're allocated the same priority sites, same number of priority sites as the other towns. Uh-huh. So what does that mean? It means that priority sites are EOC, our hospitals, our wastewater treatment plant. When you take those off the table, you're left with very few what are called priority sites in their service area. I know this sounds like gobbledygook. But what it means is they're not doing the job to get as many people up and running in Bridgeport as they might be doing somewhere else. Now, I hate to pit, I don't want to pit town against city or city against town. The problem is they're just not doing their job. They
Are
don't
you
care.
Jealous because Norwalk had two trucks yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit.
Had one.
Yeah, Harry's a better mayor than me. That's the problem.
That's not a competition
I'm going to get over to Mayor Rilling now, Mayor Ganim. Is there anything else you want to add before we... go.
No, we'll keep you updated. We're going to go on. We're doing announcements live today with Facebook Live. We'll bring them up to date. We've got no credible or substantive response from the UI company. The president of that company makes $2 million a year, ooh, and he won't answer the phone. I mean, that's more than you make, Chaz, I think.
Just barely, yes.
Wait, make? Wait, I pay to be
paid $2 million a year. I'm making light in the midst of with the very situation. But,
I got
but come
you.
On. Yeah. The guy's making $2 million a year, and this is the way he runs a power company that services tens of thousands of people, and leaves people hanging. He won't even answer the phone for public officials trying to figure out how to protect some of our residents here. We're not playing a game here. We're dealing with people's lives. And thank God we haven't lost any here. But, you know, every day that goes by, people are more and more and more at risk. And it's not just the inconvenience of not being able to have electricity. This could be, in some situations, it falls back on us. If we've got to send fire crews in to rescue people to save lives, this guy and the company, and I hate to be personal about it, just don't seem to give a damn. So I'll let you talk to Harry. I'm sure he's much calmer now that he's a year older.
Older and wiser.
We got one truck. The whole city of Bridgeport got one truck, and Harry comes out with two. I should be mad at Harry.
You can't have a beer with Mayor Ganim. Imagine.
No, he's a great mayor and a great man, and we work together, as many of the mayors across Connecticut do, especially through COVID and some of the other challenges. So we'll stick together on this stuff, too.
All right, Mayor Ganim, thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks for sticking up for Bridgeport, and we're going to keep in touch with you there.
Deep breaths.
Okay.
All right.
Into the nose, out through the mouth.
Holy cow. He seems like just a big ball of fire.
Yes, here.
Erupted.
Couldn't keep it in anymore.
Confederate dunces, I love that.
The Confederation of Dunces. Get it right.
Do they have those pointy hats?
The
dunce hats.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the uniform would be.
That and they have to put the gum on the end of their nose.
I feel like they'd look a lot like us. Let's go to Norwalk Mayor Rilling. Mayor, we had you on yesterday. We conferenced you in with Eversource. Mitch was great. He said, give me that mayor's number. I will get it to the right people. We did that. Did you have a positive experience?
Well, I haven't had as much coffee as Mayor Ganim, but, you know, and I get it. Like I said, Joe is also a great mayor. He works very hard on behalf of the city, and we're all fired up. But I think my experience has been a little bit better than his here in Norwalk. I finally did get a call at a little after 2 yesterday afternoon. Didn't get much information from that call, but at least somebody called me back, and that was something. It was funny because I was going to laugh at Joe because I said, well, I have twice as many trucks as you. I had 2. He had 1. That night, my trucks left and didn't come back. So,
you were supposed to put them on leashes.
He had more than I did, but we do have more people coming in. South Norwalk Electric that does is a separate municipal utility. They have taking care of their customers, and now they're working with Eversource. The problem is still communication. We do have priority spots that need attention, and they seem to be operating independently and not working with us. We have about 48 trees down that still need somebody from Eversource to come out and determine whether or not the line is electrified.
Did you say 48?
48 trees down.
Did you go out and count?
He did.
We'll take care of 160 of them.
Did you go out and count?
We have a list. Yes, we have. I didn't count. I'm driving all over town all day long. In fact, today at 10 o'clock,
just
I have a
phone
tour
charged
with Congressman Hines.
No.
Wow.
So he's coming into town.
You're Eversource and Bridgeport's UI and...
Yeah.
All right. I saw that Eversource said, and I'm going to ask Mitch in the next break, that they feel like a majority of their customers will be up by Sunday night, 11:59. Does that work for you?
Well, not really. I mean, that's still 5 or 6 days. Well, Tuesday through Sunday is 6 days. I just don't think that's really, really a good response. You know, we do get it. This has been a storm that impacted us much more than we thought it would. But still, I just don't think they anticipated. They need to have a better plan up front. We had no notice that this was coming in. And they still did not have the proper response. They didn't have crews coming in from the western states or midwestern states, I'm sorry. And they could have had them on standby right in here, but they didn't. And that's the big problem. And as I said, we all had an emergency operations plan. That plan went out the window. They did not partner with us. They did not send their crews out with our crews. You know, our men and women of the Department of Public Works, our police officers, our firefighters, our emergency people, emergency response people, they're doing a great job. They're putting their lives on the line and responding to these calls. And the people from the utility companies are not doing their job. So it's just a different. But I also want to say the line people that come in from the utilities, they're putting their lives on the line too. This is for a situation that we all need to work together and make sure we get things done and get it done in a timely fashion. And we're doing our part. Up until last evening, they weren't doing theirs.
All right, Mayor. Well, thanks for checking in. Before we let you go, was there any part of yesterday that seemed like your birthday?
Yeah, my wife and I went out to dinner. We're staying in a hotel. We still have that power. But my wife and
ooh,
I went out
sexy
to dinner
time.
And it was nice. And people came up to me and wished me happy birthday at the table. So that was nice.
Nice. Okay,
utility companies, everybody.
You're a former police officer?
I'm a former police chief here in Norwalk. I was on the police department for 41 years.
Wow.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I love my city, and I want to do everything I can to make this city the safest it can possibly be.
Obviously.
All right. We're going to have Eversource on in the next break. Is there anything you'd like me to ask them?
No, I don't think you're going to get the information on anyway, but I'd certainly hope we can get something done before midnight or before 11:59 on Sunday.
Right.
We
have a heat wave
kind
coming.
Of a convenient answer for me.
Yeah, we have a heat wave coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's going to be in the 90s, so
bad, well bad.
It'd be very nice if we can get that done. All right, Mayor, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Norwalk Mayor Rilling. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Badass.
I missed the opportunity when he said, my wife gave me something special.
I think we all heard that.
Yep.
Like what, Mayor?
Yeah.
What was that?
Was it a present?
A haircut.
Jim from Brantford.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, we've got a big problem out here. Every time we call Eversource, we get into arguments with them. They said, you have power. And I said, I'm sitting here in the dark. So there's something screwed up with them. I was a utility worker, retired, and 90% of our condominiums here are elderly. I mean, we're talking 70 and up. I walked the property the other day, and there's three transformers, big transformers, that feed our property. When the power went out that first night, we only had 30% of a third of our buildings were electrified. One of the people up the top of the hill called up Eversource. They came out and they went to the transformers, and the fusible link on his transformer was down, so they popped it back up, and now we've got two thirds of our buildings with power. There's a third transformer up there, and I don't see why when they came out and they reset that one, they didn't reset the other one. So that probably is why none of the third of us are not getting service from them.
And well, your former utility, why do you think that happened?
Well, we had a tree come down and hit the side of the pole that these...
No, but I mean, from a management perspective, why do you think a crew would come out and do one thing and then there's something else close by they can do and flip on another third? And why wouldn't that happen? Is that ground crew is that like lower level decision or is that higher management decision?
No, when we used to send our trucks out, we have maps of where the cables are going and everything. When this man called in, they knew what his unit number was. and they knew what transformer he would be on. So they went out and they just did that one.
So it's all about the call.
Yes, but I don't understand it because everybody here has been trying to call.
Weird.
And we just get the same pat answer that, oh, you've got power. No, we don't.
It's dark here.
Right. Let me take a look. Hang on. Here. Nope.
Okay, if right. you say I do.
Right. Define power.
Yeah, come on,
power?
For dinner.
I have the power internally?
Yes.
Hey.
To persevere?
Hey, here's the good news. Our electric bills next month will be lower.
Well.
Right.
Yeah.
Our usage will be down.
That's not what we meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was one of the smart ones. When I left the phone company, I kept my landline, which is hardwired right to the central office. So people come to me when they want to make a phone call because, you know, without power, your IP phones don't work.
That's right. That's so, right. Good for you.
This is something.
Well, you sound nice and clear. So
We had a problem with Hurricane Irene, and the governor stepped in and made them clear the line from the post road all the way down to hospice because hospice lost their generator. Hmm. So they hardened up this line, and we don't have a problem with the high tension coming in. But it's the problem of getting from the high tension through the transformer to our buildings. And for God's sakes, come on, people.
It doesn't seem like there's enough money spent on the upper end of planning and wiring. It's, you know, the last time we had a big storm, they patched it together to get us back up and running. But it doesn't seem like they went back through and got everything together. Because, you know, this is what happened. Everything's out.
Yeah. Right.
All right, we got to go to a break here. Then we're going to talk to Mitch Gross with Eversource. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. That was
ask him that question of why they do things like that. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to talk to Mitch Gross with Eversource now. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. How we doing, Mitch? Things better?
We're getting there, Chaz, AJ. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Good morning. all right, so I read somewhere that Eversource is saying a majority of users will be restored. People without power will be restored by Sunday night, 11:59.
Okay, our announcement last night was that the vast majority will be back by Tuesday, just before midnight, with many, many customers being restored much sooner today and over the weekend. We've already restored over 435,000 customers since the storm hit. And more work to be done, as you well know, and lots more help coming. The list gets longer and longer.
How many crews did we start with? How many do we have now? And how many will we have by tomorrow?
The number, we began with hundreds. It's well over 1,000 now, and it continues to grow. For instance, additional help's coming from New York, Maryland, North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Missouri, Illinois, and Canada.
All right.
The mutual aid system at work.
Okay. I heard something about crews in the South that initially we weren't accepting them because of COVID. Any truth to that?
No truth to that. I've heard that rumor as well. There have been lots of, as you know, there's lots of rumors flying around. So.
Okay. Can I ask why didn't we have these crews on the way like days before the storm?
The way the mutual aid system works is utilities go out and all utilities go out to secure additional help in anticipation of the storm. So as Isaias was making its way up the East Coast, all utilities along the East Coast were out there doing the same thing, trying to secure additional help. So there's only so many line workers to go around, so many people that specialize in this kind of work. So what they do is they go to location A. If that utility no longer needs them, they say thank you, and they can move on to location B, which in this case could be us, or we could be location C,
right,
depending on the track of the storm. These are, you know, what the term is, journeymen. These are journeymen that go from location to location. So we had secured extra help prior to the storm. They were already here, and we were always looking for extra help once they were released from other utilities.
Are we talking like big dollars to secure multiple crews from other states? In other words, reserve
they're
them?
They're well compensated. Absolutely,
right.
They're well compensated. That's
I'm
hard,
saying,
dangerous work, too.
Because it seemed like we waited too long, and I heard, and you can confirm this, that nobody at the utility companies, yours included, knew it was going to be this bad?
Well, at the time, the best information we had predicted something other than what happened. And obviously, we always have to readjust. And I believe I noted to you a couple of days ago, storm tracks change, strength changes. Every storm is different. So we plan and we prepare based on the best information at that particular time. And then we have to readjust, and we do.
Okay. Mitch, I know you're doing a tough job here representing the company, but we thought it could have been a hurricane, and Connecticut was in that path like a week before it got here, at least
right.
5 days.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, maybe someone you think could have called and reserved these journeymen. And, you know, we pay the money or we don't pay. You know, we got to pay them either way. But it's just you're paying into, you're investing in your company, right? If you pay these people and lock them in so they're not going to another state.
I hear what you're saying, and yes, all utilities are doing the same thing. They are investing. They are trying to secure resources. It's the way the mutual aid system works. We share resources as best we can, and all utilities always look for additional help in anticipation of a storm, and then we all readjust based on the current situation.
Let me read you a story from November of 2017. Eversource is planning to add more in-state staff and is working to improve its high-tech communication system as a result of the problems experienced during the damaging late October storm. Nobody here feels like that did anything.
Well, I understand everyone's frustration. We've heard the message loud and clear from the governor's office to the town officials and, of course, from our customers. And there will be, we'll look again at things when all is said and done. Job number one right now and is to get those remaining customers back on.
We can talk about this later. But in that 2017 story, it says the utility is seeking state approval for $336.8 million rate increase. That would boost consumer electricity bills by an average of 6.79%. So you guys were saying we need to do better, and to do better, we need more money. And we gave you more money, and here we are.
Broke.
Yeah. We're all in a very tough situation. I hear what you're saying. But right now, we have to focus on the problem at hand, and that is getting those people back on.
You're right. And I know it's not your job to address this stuff, but, man, you could see why we're kind of pissed.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I understand. You know, I have neighbors without power. There's still trees coming down. There's a road I typically use in my commute. Last night it was open. This morning it's closed. You know, this remains a very fluid situation, but more help is coming. There'll be lots of people on the job, and we've got to get those remaining customers back on.
Mitch, I'm guessing Mitch Gross from Eversource is on. I'm guessing you don't put your name on your mailbox.
he's Bob Davis, male nurse.
Can you imagine this guy? Right. He has to go home. Like, he has nothing to do. He's the spokesperson.
Exactly right, yeah.
He has to drive down his street in the dark.
Right.
Is that Mitch?
Mitch, is that you? He changes vehicles,
he's
actually.
He's sneaking in through his backyard.
Yeah,
parking streets away, hopping fences.
Right, he actually changes vehicles and put on disguise.
He's like that guy we talked to in Litchfield. He's turning all his lights off. He's making sure it looks like he's out.
Right.
Not showering.
Look, Rumble.
Mitch,
look,
I got a text yesterday, and this is frustrating, that said I was going to get power back yesterday at 2:30, and it did not happen.
I'm sorry to hear that. We're looking into instances where the messages came.
I'm not saying as a personal experience. I'm just saying a lot of people had that happen.
Yes.
Maybe it's a prank.
Why would you send that text out? Like when I saw 2:30, I thought, oh, they're going to have it on by 11 because it'll make them look like geniuses.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Right.
Right. Why would that happen?
I don't know the answer to that question. What happened and why the system? Why that message was triggered? I do not know. But you're not the first one to make us aware of what took place yesterday.
Wallingford, all right? They have their own power.
Now, yes, municipally owned, yes.
Right, and if we look down a list of all the towns that were hit the worst, Guess where they are? Down on the bottom.
Wow.
Now, how does an independently owned electric company that's owned by the town, and the town doesn't do any of this kind of stuff that you guys do, how do they have the lowest number of outages? What did they do right?
They have far fewer customers than we do. We have 1.25 million customers around the state. We serve 149 towns and cities.
But there aren't
they
massive
are one town unto themselves.
But there aren't massive outages in Wallingford. How do their poles, how do their wires?
What do they do?
How does that not? Can you guys like call them up and say, hey, what are you doing over there?
It could have been the weather. I don't know. As you know, as we've discussed, depending on the town you're in, you know, the damage is greater than your neighbor next door. But
yeah,
I mean, there's, you know, weather is fickle, I guess.
I know, but that's weird, right? Like the storm went around Wallingford.
No, I'm not saying that. Not at all.
I know you're Mitch, I like you, and I know you got a tough job. And, you know, you're not in those rooms making those decisions that are leading us to this problem. You have to put a face on it and give us answers. So I appreciate you coming on and what you're doing. And
it's a thankless job.
Hey, man, if we get power back before this heat wave, that could save lives.
That'd be awesome.
Right? So
I hear you. I understand, and I hear you. Yes, yeah. We're on it. We're on it. I'm looking outside right now. And there are trucks rolling by my window. So
send them over here.
Where are they going?
Yes, please.
Why are they out your window?
Dunkin' Donuts.
All right.
In the meantime, guys, I'm going to change my mailbox, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you.
Exactly.
Right. All right, Mitch. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We make a couple little jokes. We know people are, you know, I'm at the gas station, too.
Uh-huh.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. But Wallingford, can we send in a team there and just get
just
with a clipboard?
Yeah.